Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of August, recording at 9:36 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of the day, and it was a very, very quiet day, particularly for stock markets. We had modest gains in Asia for the most part. One of the bigger ones was the Hang Seng Index, which was up over 1%. And it's taking it up to 20,291. The European stock markets were very quiet. We had gains of less than 1%, but again, quietly steady, I should say. The Americas, Wall Street was higher for most of the day, but then gave it up at the close to close virtually unchanged. Canada and Mexico were a fraction firmer. Biggest move possibly on the day might have been Brazil, which was down 1.76%. Now, long-dated government bond prices were soft. The 30-year Treasury bond futures down 1.5 points as I speak. The U.S. dollar was very quiet, maybe a wee bit firmer against some currencies, including the Aussie, which is down at 104.90. Sterling. Just a fraction. The euro was a fraction weaker. Let's see if I missed sterling. Unchanged. So very, very quiet in the currencies as well. Crude oil was just a fraction firmer in here today. Precious metals saw some action. They were firm early on, but then reversed those gains. So silver, which had at the high of the morning was at 27.97, is currently 27.76, although off the low at 27.57. Gold, now I can tell you gold was up several dollars, and $4 or $5, and I went to get something out of the fridge, and by the time I'd returned, it had fallen over $20 and closed down 10. It's just below 1600. Platinum was about the firmest, but off its highs. Platinum at one stage was up at 14.16. It's quite firm, but settled here at just below the 1400 level. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the stock markets have had a good move since the beginning of June. And that includes just about everything. Wall Street has been to the forefront. ASEAN has been to the forefront. South Africa, Mexico, Denmark in Europe with all its healthcare companies. But markets generally have been firm, and Europe has put in the best performance of all, not because they've solved a lot of problems, but because they've bought a little more time and appear to be talking together, and confidence is in Mario Draghi and his ability to deal with this very, very difficult situation is slowly improving. So what next? Well, we've seen a lot of stock markets rally up to the upper side of their ranges. None have plunged back down, and some have pushed through to the upside. So you got to say, or I will say, you don't have to say anything, I will say that the demand side of the equation is still holding the... or still has the upper hand. Now, with Wall Street right up near its highs, a lot of people are watching this very, very closely, understandably. And again, we've had no downward dynamics indicating that some aggressive selling has come in. I think people are surprised and somewhat bemused to see markets up here, given how bearish sentiment was back near the end of April. After that sell in May and go away, well, if they went away longer than April, they missed this rally. And I think the fact that a lot of people did step out of the market or were underinvested has helped fuel the strength of the rally that we've actually seen, taking Wall Street back up to its highs for the year. Now, weigh it all up on a commonality basis, and the fact that some of the markets that I mentioned a few moments ago, namely the ASEAN and South Africa, are very much to the fore. The fact that those markets have led to the upside, gone through the year's earlier highs, in the case of ASEAN, and hitting new all-time highs, that in terms of commonality, that's a positive bullish overall lead. Now, the market that has really not participated in that at all is China, which is right down near its lows, and thus China remaining quite a concern for observers generally, and concern over China's growth. A concern for the global economy if China doesn't pick up relatively soon. But to get back to that technical picture overall, it's favorable, not least to see Europe rebound in what's been a very good technical rally, no doubt heavily influenced by short covering. But that's favorable. So in terms of technical indicators, the odd man out is very much China, and it's an important one, being the world's second largest economy. But my best guess, going back to Wall Street and some of these firmer European markets, including the German DAX index, my best guess is that the odds still favor further upward breaks, despite this being a period where we often see some seasonal underperformance. Now, what else? If there's an argument against that, and inevitably there will be a number of them, but I'm not going to list the old concerns, being Europe, the fiscal cliff, and China, which I just mentioned, but they've been concerns for a while. But I will mention the price of crude oil once again, particularly the price of Brent crude, which has become a headwind once again. So that and a further rally in crude oil from here could be a real game changer. I don't think it's justified by the fundamentals of supply and demand, but clearly there are some hedge longs in the oil market, and there has been a lot of chatter, I gather, coming out of Israel, talking about an attack on Iran. Now, I think that's probably a tactical measure. This is conjecture on my part, admittedly. But if the Israeli government really was about to attack Iran's nuclear facilities, would they be allowing all this chatter to take place on the internet? That's sort of telling Iran, here we come, or we're about to, we're on, we're on our way. So it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense in terms of the timing, the side of the U.S. presidential election. But a lot of people are voting, or at least putting on a hedge against other positions, as I mentioned yesterday, by being long these oil futures, and that's not so great here for the global economy. Oh, what else to mention? The grain and bean complex. I didn't cover them in my review, but we had some downward dynamics yesterday, and we had a little bit of follow-through in here today, but we're still up at fairly rarefied levels overall. And the question remains, are these top formations following the huge stocks to the upside? They could be, and technically they have those characteristics, but I'm also very aware, as you will be, that the damage is to the crops, to the U.S. crops, and not just the U.S. crops, certainly other growing regions in terms of soybeans and corn, and to a lesser extent wheat, is very significant. And this is going to reduce global GDP growth somewhat, and it's going to increase inflationary pressures somewhat, obviously in the form of food prices. That hasn't come through yet, but it will. So we have a little bit of a stagflation environment here overall, and maybe the bond markets are beginning to reflect that. They remain soft, as I said earlier. On that note, all the best. Big story, big one point that everybody's guessing about is which way Wall Street's going to jump from current levels. Well, as I said, put the odds slightly in favor of upwards. All the best.